Tonight's message is a very special Christmas message entitled Bah, Humbug. Now, if I was Ebenezer Scrooge, I would tell you about how much I hate and despise Christmas and how Christmas is a humbug. But since I'm not Ebenezer Scrooge and I actually like Christmas, then I'm going to tell you all about Christmas tonight and answer all your questions about Christmas within reason. The subtitle is Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Christmas. We won't really tell you everything you want to know. That's just, it's ministerially speaking, we'll tell you everything you want to know. But bah, humbug. So the first thing that we're going to talk about tonight is Santa Claus. Santa Claus. Now, I searched far and wide for a scripture on Santa Claus. And I found this prophecy of Santa Claus in Zechariah 2:6, which says, "Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord." Of course, a prophecy of Santa Claus. Now, it's not really a prophecy of Santa Claus. There is no prophecy of Santa Claus in the Bible, but that's actually talking to the children of Israel who were still in Babylon and had not left when the captivity was over, and it was telling them to flee out of Babylon and come back to Jerusalem. But nonetheless, St. Nicholas was a real person. He was the bishop of the church at Myra. And you may remember Myra, because we read about it when we studied Paul's journey through the sea in the book of Acts. And in Acts 27:5 through 6, "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein." Myra was a seaside town, and Paul and Luke and the rest of the people on the ship had stopped there and gotten on a different ship. We don't know why they changed ships, but nonetheless they changed ships. And Nicholas was the bishop of Myra. He was the pastor of the church at Myra. Now, about St. Nicholas. He became legendary for giving gifts to the poor. That's what he was known for. He would give gifts to children, gifts to the poor. His parents died when he was young. It was said that he used his inheritance to help those in need. And tradition says that he died on December 6, 343. Now, another thing about St. Nicholas that you may not know. During the First Council of Nicaea, and a council, the early churches held councils to write doctrinal statements and settle disputes. And tradition says that St. Nicholas was asked by Emperor Constantine, the Emperor of Rome, to appear at the First Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. A noted heretic named Arius spoke at the council. And Arius denied the deity of Jesus Christ. So this heretic stood up, and Nicholas became so angry that he hit Arius in the face. So that led to this famous meme that you may have seen on Facebook. "St. Nicholas, I came to give presents to kids and to punch heretics, and I just ran out of presents." But the legend of St. Nicholas went on. From St. Nicholas, the legend grew in Europe of a bearded gift giver who traveled around giving gifts to children. Dutch immigrants brought stories of him to America in the 1700s. And they nicknamed, they called him St. Nicholas, but they nicknamed him Sinterklaas. And that's where we get the name Santa Claus from. And indeed, for the Dutch children, they will put out their shoes, and Santa Claus or Sinterklaas leaves candy in the children's shoes. Something I never would have done when I was a kid, because, you know, shoes are dirty and I don't want. But nonetheless, Santa Claus. In the United States, Clement C. Moore wrote a poem called A Visit from St. Nicholas in 1823. And this poem gave us our modern concept or ideas of Santa Claus. We know the poem as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It was originally called A Visit from St. Nicholas. Now, from St. Nicholas, we learn, be generous. Help those in need. Don't be stingy. Let me say that without the frog in my throat. Don't be stingy. All right? The other thing we learn is defend the faith. Jude 1:3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Christians, Bible believers, should defend the faith. And St. Nicholas not only gave gifts to children, but he stood up and defended the Christian faith against heretics. Now, the only thing we shouldn't do is we shouldn't hit somebody in the face because they preach false doctrine. But we should tell the truth. So that's St. Nicholas. Now, number two, the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree. I've had, at the church I came from, I had a lot of fun over the years with the sound, it was the guy that operated the video equipment, because he and I both had a joke every Christmas about Christmas trees, and because there are people that preach against Christmas trees, believe it or not. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. What? Cody. Okay. All right. But never mind. I don't want to get in an argument in the middle of this thing. Anyway, nobody knows who he is, but you're right. I can't say his name. Cody Oglesby. And so anyway, Cody and I would talk about and make jokes about Christmas trees because they had a Christmas tree at the church, and so we'd make jokes about, we need to burn that Christmas tree, you know, like that. Because people do, there are people that preach against Christmas trees. And if you've ever watched any of the Doctor Who episodes, in a couple of the episodes, the Christmas trees, one year, the Christmas tree was a space alien that started spinning around and shooting, you know, at the people in the room out of the Christmas ornaments, and then it chased the people all through the... Anyway, it was hilarious. But the Christmas tree. But there is scripture that people use to preach against Christmas trees. And I'm going to show you that scripture. And here it is in Jeremiah 10, 2 through 5. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, this obviously makes a good verse to preach against Christmas trees. God says it's these heathen cut down a tree out of the forest, deck it with silver and gold. There's only a little problem with this. It's not talking about a Christmas tree. There were no Christmas trees at that time. Jeremiah 10 was talking about the heathen who carved trees into idols. They used silver and gold to decorate their idols. This example was used to show the Jews how foolish idolatry was and that they should not fear these false gods. So the question would arise, why do we put up Christmas trees? So I'll give you a little history. This is a very brief history. The modern Christmas tree came to England from Germany. Queen Victoria and her German husband, Prince Albert, had several Christmas trees in their palace. And apparently Prince Albert was also the source of many jokes a long time ago. Any of you ever make a, you know, phone call and ask if somebody had Prince Albert in a can? Okay, so apparently that used to be a joke. You better let him out. Yeah, that was the punchline. So, what was it? A hairspray or something? Oh, it's a tobacco dip. Oh, hell. I'm so sorry. But nonetheless, Queen Victoria's husband was Prince Albert, and he was German. And they had several Christmas trees in their palace, and the Christmas tree had been traditional in Germany. A magazine cover during that time featured a drawing of Queen Victoria's Christmas tree. This helped to popularize the tradition in England because everybody wanted to have Christmas trees like the Queen. The same drawing was reprinted in America in a publication called Godey's Ladies Book, something like that. Anyway, a magazine in December of 1848. This led to the popularization of Christmas trees in the United States. So, from the Christmas tree, we learn, study the Bible and don't take a verse out of context to prove a point. Jeremiah 10 has nothing to do with Christmas trees. Some careful study could have saved someone some embarrassment. So that's what we learn about the Christmas tree. All right, now, number 3. Christmas Day on December the 25th. Now, I actually took a little flack at work because we canceled because we're not having Christmas service on the 25th, but rather we are having our Christmas service on the 18th today. And I had people think that was just awful to do that, that we should have had it on the 25th. But, I will talk about that in a moment, but, Romans 14, 5 through 6 says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he giveth God thanks. So, when we get to Romans 14, we'll study this, but this is the a concept called liberty of conscience, individual soul liberty, and it's one of the beliefs that Baptists hold dear, and that is the idea that people should follow their consciences. And if a person believes that a certain day we should celebrate Christ's birth, of course they didn't have Christmas at that time, but if a person believes we should celebrate something on a certain day and that's what they're convinced of, let them do it to the Lord. And if they don't believe that, then let them not do it to the Lord. Now, was Jesus born on December the 25th? No one knows when Christ was born. The Bible doesn't say when Christ was born. The early church debated when the birthday of Christ should be celebrated or if it should even be celebrated at all. The pagan Romans celebrated festivals for the sun on December the 25th. The church introduced the celebration of Christ's birthday on this date to take the place of the pagan festivals. The Bible calls Christ the Son of Righteousness. Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." So it seemed fitting to the early church that on a day when the pagans celebrated the sun, that Christians should celebrate the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. As a theologian asserted in 320 AD, and I got this from ChristianityToday.com. This is what this theologian said in 320 AD. "We hold this day, that is December the 25th, holy, not like the pagans because of the birth of the Son, but because of Him who made it." And so, that is why traditionally, December 25th became the day we celebrate Christ's birth. What we learn from December 25th, if you want to celebrate a special day, do it to the glory of God. If you don't want to celebrate, don't. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. What makes the day special is that you celebrate it unto the Lord. So enjoy Christmas Day. Enjoy it. Have a good time. Have a good time on Christmas Day on the 25th, and have a good time today as we celebrate an early Christmas Day here tonight. So, December the 25th. Now, finally, we want to talk about, and this is one of my personal favorite, Xmas. Xmas. Yes. Matthew 1:16 says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Is it okay to substitute an X for Jesus' name, for Christ's name? Are we removing Christ from Christmas by using Xmas? Well, first of all, the X in Xmas is not an X. It is the Greek letter chi, which looks like an X. In Greek, the name of Christ is Christos, and it starts with a chi, which looks like an X. Chi is the first letter in the name of Christ in Greek, so it's an abbreviation for Christ. Chi, or X, has been used as a symbol for Christ's name for at least 1,000 years. The use of Xmas as an abbreviation for Christmas goes back to the 16th century, so the 1500s. So Xmas is not a modern attempt to remove Christ from Christmas. It is simply an ancient abbreviation for Christ using the Greek alphabet. So from Xmas we learn, Christians jump the gun on lots of things and create issues where there is no issue. Research before you protest. I don't know if anybody in here protests, but, you know, every year Christians are wanting to boycott this thing and that thing and boycott Starbucks and boycott this and that because what was it a couple of years back? The cup, the Starbucks cup was red and or not something else, and so they wanted to protest it, and there's always a protest going on. So, research before you protest. Let's keep Christ in Christmas not by worrying about how a word is spelled, but by sharing the gospel with others. After all, the greatest gift of all is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what Christmas is really about. Christmas is about the gift, the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world, which is Jesus Christ, who came to the earth to die for our sins on the cross and to rise from the dead. And eternal life is not something that we can earn. It's not something we can be good enough to get. It's something that Jesus bought for us when he died on the cross for us. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, tonight could be your night to trust Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus. He's come. He's been born. And he wants to save your soul. And so tonight, if you've not been saved, we invite you to be saved. In a few minutes, we're going to go over after we have our prayer and everything. We're going to go over and have a good time and kind of have a birthday party for Jesus. So we're looking forward to that. But right now, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll give an invitation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us celebrate the birth of your Son. I thank you that we got to celebrate it today. I thank you that we'll get to celebrate it again on December the 25th. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're able to just focus on Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life and share that gift with others. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you very quickly, is there anyone here who would say, Brother Stephen, and nobody's going to look around, nobody will come to you or embarrass you, nobody will point you out, but you just say, just by raising your hand, you'd raise your hand and say, Brother Stephen, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know for sure.